We now have met to worship Thee.
Each one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. I'm sure you're all sitting here relaxed. And I'll be honest with you, my heart's sort of quaking as I look at this weekend. And that comes from searching the scriptures and searching my heart and repeatedly coming to a place of how can I say what needs to be said? It's like, and I really feel that way. I'm not going to be able to say what really needs to be said. We need the Spirit of God to somehow come and communicate with our hearts. And do pray for me that I keep thinking of little things here and there, and they all seem so important. And I don't know how to bring it all together that it'll be nicely understood. So if you have questions, feel free to ask them. I'm aware that I might leave you with some questions as we go through this, but by the grace of God, we want to look into the Word of God to find God's plan. You know, God has a plan. God has a will. God has a purpose for each one of us. God wants to pour blessings on our lives. You know, we sort of know that, but for real, God wants to pour blessings on our lives. Brother Steve called me and was sharing the desire to have something concerning courtship and youth. And that's a subject that's close to my heart, or I could say our hearts. And I've been thinking for a long time about it. How to approach this thing, how to look at it. And I thought maybe at the beginning I would share just a little bit our own testimony. I do not plan to keep coming back to this. But my wife and I were blessed in being able to have a godly courtship that we do not look back on with regrets or guilt. And to anyone in this room that does not have that testimony, please don't go on a guilt trip. Please do not go on a guilt trip. But for every single person in this room, that is priceless. Having a courtship that you have no regrets or guilt about is priceless. It is easy as young people to think, Mom and Dad are just being hard on me. The minister is just saying all these restrictive things. But I'd like to appeal to your heart, to your mind, to your soul, your conscience, your whole being. This is a blessing you do not want to miss. It is priceless. When we got married, we did have the blessing of our parents. Also, church authorities. I don't know of anybody that would have been looking at our wedding day saying, I wonder about this one. That's just not a part of it. We held hands for the first time when we exchanged our vows. And you could be sitting here saying, you did what? I'm telling you, it was priceless. We held hands the first time when we exchanged our wedding vows. To this day, that is a treasure. And yes, we were both virgins when we got married. That is priceless. Absolutely priceless. And I'm going to be sharing with you this weekend from this perspective of life. It's not unrealistic. We're not superhumans. Just children of God, saved by grace, able to walk out the will of God, and thus inherit blessings beyond compare. Blessing, blessing, blessing. And young person, if you're sitting here this evening and you're wondering, your parents are sitting here. Maybe they didn't have this privilege, but as they think about the possibility of you having these blessings, I am confident their hearts rise with anticipation and say, yes! All those scars, all those regrets that we wouldn't have to have, yes! I'd like to get us to, in our minds, put away, and even in our hearts, this thing of looking at these blessings as being restrictive, holding me from something that I should be allowed to have. We could somehow just put that away. Because God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us so much. It's right there in reach. If we'll allow Him to, and if we will obey Him. Now, Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When the evil days come not, what do you think the evil days are? It'd be interesting if we just had a little discussion here with the young people. What do you think the evil days are? The next little phrase might give us a clue. Nor the years draw nigh. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There is a day when you're going to be older and life isn't going to just spin like a top anymore. And the years are going to draw nigh. And you're not going to have the git to get up and go like you had one day. And he's saying wisely, when you're young, when you have energy, when you got all that snap in your bones, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's a day coming when you might say, I don't have any pleasure in these days anymore. They become a grind. I'm old enough that I'm starting to see the generation ahead of me facing some aches and pains that aren't all fun. Some days are a trial. And I'm starting to wake up to a few meanings without having to look up super definitions like, oh, this is simple. This is very simple. So he's saying, now when you're young, you seek the Lord. Remember thy Creator. There are days coming when that might not be pleasure. But guess what? When you're young, there's a lot of pleasure in life. You feel pretty good. You get up every morning with energy. You're ready to go. You've got ideas. You have plans. You have vision. After all, you've got a whole life ahead of you. Right? You've got a whole life ahead of you. And I would venture to say most of you young people sitting in this room have some dreams. You have a few ideas. What would be nice if life turned out a certain way? I'm sure you do. I did. I think you probably do too. Now we could ask a question. How many hope to live a blessed and happy life? How many of you young people here hope to live a blessed and happy life? Maybe I should ask this question first. How many of you young people are just looking forward to life going absolutely terrible? You sit around and you dream about all the things that are just going to go wrong in life. I'd be tempted to ask for a raise of hands, but if you do that, I don't want to make you raise your hand. But I don't think there's anybody here that thinks that way as a young person. We think good things as we think out ahead, don't we? Yeah. I did. And some of them weren't all very straight. God needed to help me. But as we think into the future, we're always thinking of how it'll turn out well. Whether we're thinking in spiritual terms or carnal terms, we tend to think things to turn out well and to go well. Well, what are our dreams concerning the future? What are our motivations? What are the things that cause us to push forward? What are the reasons that we do the things we do? Now, I'd like to talk about our decisions and actions just a little bit. Young people, have you ever thought about the fact that the decisions we make when we're young and the actions we carry out can affect us the rest of our lives? the decisions we make and the actions we carry out can affect us the rest of our life. And these can be good or bad. There are scars of sin that will be a scar the rest of your life. And in a fleeting moment, we make a decision and carry out actions in our youth that affect us the rest of our lives. Now, do we sit and dream about that? How we're going to ruin our lives and how it's not going to turn out well? No. We think about it turning out well. Having a happy life, having a blessed life. But it brings us to a sober reality as we realize the decisions we make and the actions we carry out when we're young, they matter for the rest of our lives. Therefore, it becomes important. This subject becomes very important. And that's maybe one of the reasons why I tremble as I try to share with you, because it is so important. It is so important. Now, the Bible does say, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." And that verse is in Proverbs, just stuck there by itself without any qualifications at all. It's one of those Proverbs where every verse is a subject. And there it is. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So if you, in your heart and mind, think about getting married one day and living a happy and blessed life, that is a good thing before the Lord. That's a good thing before the Lord. He just said here, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Either you can be a young man that obtains favor, or you can be a young wife that brings favor. You know, God's looking on us and He's smiling about this whole thing. God has a plan. I forgot to tell you this evening, the title of the message is God's Plan for Male and Female. Now that might be a little different, but let's just continue on. God's plan for male and female. God has a plan. And as He looks at this thing about getting married, God says, hey, this is good, to the point that he that findeth a wife obtaineth favor of the Lord. God must really be interested in this thing of marriage. Isaiah 62 verse 5 says, and this is in context of how He rejoices over us, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. But He's using the example of a young man that marries a virgin and a bridegroom that rejoices over his bride. And God is looking at it as a positive thing. It's a positive thing. So if you've had thoughts in your mind about someday getting married, you're thinking about something that God is highly interested in, that God is very concerned about. You are thinking about something that you have the possibility of inheriting many blessings right from the throne of God. And I will tell you, you are thinking about blessings that you could get that you can't even think about or number. As we began to live our married life, we encountered some blessings we didn't expect. They were just there. That's how it works when you're under God's blessings. My time is going way faster than I anticipated. Anyway, that's just the introduction. So let's bow our heads and pray that God would help us here. Lord, I pray that You would come and bless Your Word here this evening and help me to communicate it effectively. Would You guide my heart and mind? Lord, I don't want to skip around and leave things out, and yet I pray for grace to not say things that don't need said. Would You anoint Your Word here this evening? Lord, look down on this group of people. Especially we pray for every young soul in this place, every young man and every young lady that is sitting here single. Would You speak to our hearts? Lord, fan a fire in our souls after holiness in this matter of courtship and seeking a life companion in marriage. Lord, would You make plain in each one of our lives Your will. Help us to connect with Your message, with Your heart and Your burden. Lord, I pray You would just especially guide and lead each one of these young people. Pray for each one of their fathers and their mothers, Lord. Draw our hearts together. Unite our hearts around this cause. Father, we pray that this could be lived out in a family setting under authority and not a clique off in a corner where the subtleties of our adversary lurk to wait to destroy and to deceive. God, would You bless this service tonight, bless this message. Please again, just guide my thoughts and guide my mind. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, God's plan for male and female. If you could turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. This setting, the Pharisees had come to Jesus. They asked Him, in verse 2, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And He answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart He wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Something has happened here. In the creation, God has made man. In the image of God, He made man, and male and female, He created them. We'll read that in just a little bit here. And now years have gone by, and something has happened to God's standard, to God's will, to God's heart. And they're asking Jesus about putting away their wives. And He says in the beginning, it wasn't so. And we'll continue to read it here. But the point I'd like to get here, let's think in our minds. Maybe there are things that I'm thinking, that we're thinking, that we're used to, that have moved away from what God wants, from what God's heart is, from what God's will is. If we've done that, we're missing God's blessings. We don't want to do that. But from the beginning of the creation, in verse 6, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. For what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house His disciples asked Him again of the same matter. And He said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Okay. We want to notice that God created us male and female. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now we're used to that. That's common stuff every day, male and female. But let's stop and think a little bit. God created man, male and female. God did that. And I don't know how much we know, all of us sitting here, about body functions. But let's just, in our minds, think a little bit. Could this just happen? That male and female just sort of evolve and happen to be right? Think so? And perfectly unite together to reproduce children. Think so? I think it takes a lot of blind faith to believe that we evolve perfectly as male and female. So if we didn't just evolve perfectly as male and female, then how did this come about? How did it come about? God made us male and female. It's God's idea. It's God's plan. God's plan for male and female. It was His invention, if you will. It's God's idea, this whole thing. Yes, it's flaunted everywhere today, as if we created ourselves. But this is God's plan. So if God made such a plan, what does He have in mind? What does He have in mind? And this is where there's no way to say everything. So if you find a nice big hole that I left here tonight, why, help yourself, bring it out, because they probably are going to be here. But by the grace of God, I'd like to cover a few things. What is God's plan for male and female? God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, which is father and mother are male and female. But for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. For this cause, because from the beginning God created them male and female, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. This is God's plan. God had an idea. He had something in mind. The word leave means to let down or leave behind. It also means to abandon. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. The word cleave means to glue to adhere. To glue to adhere. This is God's plan. God created male and female for the cause that a man would leave his father and mother, his family, and would go cleave to his wife, and they become a unit. A God-honoring unit that God can bless. That sounds like a nice plan. I mean, if you're sitting here as a single young person and you think about the future, let me just guess, this sounds pretty rosy. This sounds pretty rosy. You know, we all start as just a little baby and then we're a little boy or a little girl and we keep growing. And as we mature, the day comes that we begin awakening to desire and to the attractions towards the opposite sex. Well, this is not an evil thing. God made this. God made this. And I'm trying to refrain from talking about the negative side of it tonight. By God's grace, I want to address that in another message. But God made this. This is God's plan. He is the author. It's not some dirty thing. It's holy. It's holy. Perfectly made by God. But as we start to wake up to those desires, we need to follow the principles of God in them, or it'll end up in shipwreck. And we want to talk about more of those things later, but this evening, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Now, Genesis chapter 2, right from the beginning, verse 24, he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Oh, he's talking about how it was in the beginning here. When Jesus was answering their question, he's restoring back things to the way they were in the beginning. And here he does it again. This leaving and cleaving thing, God said that right from the beginning. And the thing that I felt is so ironic here with Adam and Eve, he's giving this instruction that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and there's been no father and mother. They are the only two. Imagine that. But this thing was on God's heart. God had a plan, and he wanted his plan to be clear. He wanted it to be clear. Adam had seen all the animals, and they were male and female, but there was none for him. He didn't have a companion. And God brings him a companion, and he is wowed by it and immediately receives this instruction to leave and to cleave. Now, okay, verse 8 in Mark chapter 10. And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Okay, the leaving and the cleaving. He's saying, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave. The cleaving means to adhere together. Now, he's not saying just in heart. This is physically, they become one before God. They become one before God. And Jesus is pointing back to the beginning again, the way it was. Now we go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and finish the verse. It says, and they shall be one flesh. Oh, this is God's plan. God had something in mind. God had something in mind. He created them male and female. He tells them to leave their family and to cleave. And then he says, and now you two become one. Flesh. And God sees it that way. Verse 9, what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Trying to keep myself from getting confused here with all the different ones. Yes, that's right. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples ask him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. But and if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. They're joined together by God for life, till death do us part. And I'll just touch the negative a little bit for the point of clarifying the joining and the staying together. To glue to adhere. I think what we see when people divorce and tear apart is a little bit like wood glue today. It is so strong that it will not let go. It'll tear the wood fibers instead of the glue breaking apart. And when you tear two people apart in a divorce, the same thing happens. And it goes way further than that. And I'm going to leave that for now. But God made them male and female. He says they should leave. They should cleave. They become one flesh. And then He steps right on with His plan. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon it. After the flood, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verse 7, and you, be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. Multiply therein. Have children. Multiply. Have children. This is a part of the plan of God. Have children. Multiply. Replenish. Bring forth abundantly. He said that in the beginning. And then after the flood, He said the same thing. It even says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This is close to the heart of God. This is a part of God's plan. This is what God had in mind. I don't know if we ever thought about it or not, but every time that a child is born into one of our homes as God's people, God is magnified and honored immensely. It's to the praise and the honor of His name and His plan. This is God's plan. And no, it's not something to play with. It's not something to play with. It's the plan of God. And it can be full of blessings the whole way through. It can be full of blessings. It's God's plan. God's plan for male and female. Now there is another step further. Couple more verses that can be brought in with Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. They shall be one flesh. That was also discussed here in Mark chapter 8. I missed a couple of verses here. They twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. Not only should they be one in flesh, but also heart and mind. Now, they will have a separate mind, but they should be thinking the same. They will have a separate heart, but their heart should be the same in where they're going. That's God's plan. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That would be of a different heart and a different mind. Unequal yoke says, don't do that. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39 says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. But it says, only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. We need to be of the same heart and of the same mind. Young people, you will hear testimonies in your life of people that got married as unbelievers. And God has led them together. But you would never want to go get married to an unbeliever and expect to have the blessing of God. God is going to honor your marriage, but you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. You want the blessing of God? The plan of God from the beginning was not for sin to come into the world. The plan of God was that husband and wife would dwell together in unity with one heart and one mind, one vision. So today, if we want the will of God and the plan of God in our lives, this becomes important. Even if someone proclaims to be a Christian, you want to know that your heart and mind are the same. It's important. After you're married, you're married. And if one is pulling one way, another is pulling another way, you're going to have trouble. And it happens. It happens. Therefore, let's seek after a one heart and a one mind in this matter. Okay. Let's step on a little bit. God's plan for male and female. And in this plan for a godly marriage, there is what is called a headship order. I'd like to just discuss this some. Headship order. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So in headship order, we have God the Father, then we have Christ, then we have the man, and then we have the woman. God ordained it that way. We can fight against it all our lives, but if we want the blessing of God and the plan of God, God ordained it that way. Each has its perfect, beautiful place to function in. And God made it that way. One of the things that we need to learn that doing things God's way is the best way and really the only way. Doing things God's way. You know, you can sit here and argue and shoot me down or anybody else that gets up here and preaches the Word of God. But if we're preaching the Word of God, you're really not shooting at the preacher. Do you know that? It's God's Word. And this Word, it's going to be the same. We have a decision whether we want to follow it or not, or whether we want God's blessing or not. But if we follow it, we will get God's blessing. That's sure. Headship order, big issue in our country today. But if we want God's blessing in our marriage, this one needs to just be God's way, just like everything else. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm trying to use very familiar scriptures here, so it's not complicated. I'd like to keep it simple. Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Children, obey," or verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." So, from this, as we think about headship order, we have God, we have Christ, we have the man, and we have the woman. And then under the parents here, for the sake of what it's talking about here, let's put them beside each other. We have children underneath that. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. He says, this is right. Do we want to do what is right? Well, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. He says you should honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, commandments with promise would surely be associated with blessings from God. How much blessing do we want? How much blessing do we want? There is a verse, I wish I'd have it where it's at, in the Old Testament that talks about His blessings overtaking us. You can have that if you want it. That His blessings will just come and overtake you and you can't even get away from them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, "My son or my child, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Now that's saying just about the same thing in Proverbs. For length of life and length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Colossians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord." And as we think about the future, and we dream about the future and the day that I, as a single young person, get to be married. And we want all the blessings that God has for us. There is something that is needful for us to learn here in this headship order. If we're going to be able to function in the headship order as husband or as wife in the home, then it is important that we learn how to function in the headship order as child. Children, obey your parents. Children, another way to say it, maybe sounds a little ouchier, is be under authority. Don't buck. Submit. Yield. You know, I'd like to just, I don't know if this is just young men. This happened to me. So I'm going to let one of my things out to you. But I'd like to just relate to you. We look at life and maybe we see what dad's doing or we see what mom is doing. And in our minds, we've got so many answers. Man, once I get there, I know what I'm going to do. But I'll tell you what, when it's your turn, all of a sudden your heart tends to wither like this. Especially if we have that attitude, when it's my turn, I know what to do. See, we need the grace of God, not the grace of self. Self will just wither and sink like a lead balloon. But the grace of God lifts us up and helps us and gives us strength. Now, the better we learn how to be under authority in the home, under our parents, the more prepared we're going to be for that day when it's my responsibility. And it will be a blessing. If there's something I'd like to lift way high for you here tonight, in God's plan, where you can apply yourself right now, today, tonight, it's learning to be in the headship order as child under authority. People that never learn to be under authority will struggle all their lives with authorities all around their lives. Not wanting to take responsibility. Well, I wanted to go to Ephesians chapter 5 yet. And I think maybe we will do that and not make a lot of comments. But as we look at this, this is God's plan. This is God's plan. And as a young person, as a single person here tonight, just let your mind think about it. This is God's plan. This is what God wants. We could have talked about this one all evening and taken a whole hour just on this one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I have to stop on that one a little bit. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There again, the submitting one to another. You could come back to the leaving and the cleaving, the being joined together. You know, we can talk all day about wives being submissive to their husbands and husbands being leaders and all of that. But there's an element of submitting one to another in it as well. And it's the knitting together of the heart. And this is to be done in the fear of God. The fear of God. One of the things that I'm hearing coming up in discussions of people my age and older is that the fear of God is so weak in our day. It is so weak in our day. The fear of God. We take lightly disobeying God. We take lightly disregarding the Word of God. We take it lightly today. And it's almost like we've insulated ourselves from the conviction of the Spirit of God because we lack the fear of God. The plan of God is for male and female is that they submit one to another in the fear of God. And we talk about God, you know, somehow we'd like to get God to be big. And it's easy to think about things like His voice thunders marvelously. Where you can just send the goosebumps up and down your back. But you know, that's just one aspect of God. That's an aspect of God that makes us sort of shake in our shoes. But when you think of Judgment Day, and there sits Almighty God, or there sits His Son, the Lord Jesus. And one thing I think about is those eyes. Sometimes we say people have piercing eyes. When we get before the judgment seat, we're going to see piercing eyes. I mean, He's going to literally see right into every one of our hearts. And the Bible says everything is going to be naked and open before Him. Do we believe that? We could hide under the rocks and under the mountains, but we are going to be naked and open before Him. Almighty God, He knows me inside and out, upside down and downside up. Everything. And in our marriage, we're to submit one to another in the fear of God. And as we think about getting married, this one is important. That we would look at those things in the fear of God. This is God's plan. This is God's business. What are we doing with what God created? We have to keep going. Okay. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Young ladies, have you practiced this one at home? It won't get any easier to submit to your husband than it does your dad. It won't get any easier. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Young men, how much do you love your mom? How much do you love your mom? Wouldn't that be a good place to be practicing how you're going to treat your wife in the future? See, we're looking at God's plan here. And if we embark on God's plan unprepared, how do we expect it to turn out right? But as we grow up in a family, we're put into a perfect place to establish everything we need for the day that we leave and cleave. God has a plan. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How much do you love mom, young man? Are you willing to give your life for your mom? Does she know that you love her? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. It says, for we are members of his flesh, body and of his flesh and of his bones. I need to say something here about the sanctify and cleanse and washing of water by the word. That's the responsibility of a husband, of a father in the home, to be sanctifying his wife and cleansing her and washing her in the word. That's the responsibility of a husband. It's a responsibility of a father in the home. And it's important for young men to be exercising that. It's important. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now he comes and says, I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. And we see in the plan of God for male and female that he even has entwined that the relationship, the home, the marriage union should be a living, vibrant example on earth of his church and its relationship with him. And how we're going to be joined in heaven one day. That's a pretty awesome responsibility. But when we walk in the will of God in it, we get blessing, 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 blessing. This is God's plan and God's heart and God's will. Nevertheless, even after that, he says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. He comes back and reaffirms two of the main points in this text for the marriage relationship. And again, as young people, you can love your mom, maybe your sisters. As you grew up, you practice expressing your affection and care for them. Maybe in a little different way for your sisters, but your mom, I think, just go ahead and pour it on. Nothing wrong with that. Most young men about 16, 18, or 20, we tend to we squeak a little over that one. But you know, what do we want in the future? Do we want all the blessing that God has for us? The wives see that they reverence her husband. Young ladies, reverencing your father. Maybe even some reverence for your brother or brothers. This can be a very good thing. If our home life is this way, and then two come together, they leave and they cleave, oh, the blessing of God will just continue to flow as if there was hardly even a switch. Now, I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 3 a little bit yet. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, with what we've been talking about all evening here on God's plan for male and female, ending with being heirs together of the grace of life just seems like putting it all in a box that just looks beautiful. But there's a little condition even in this verse. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's our wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. It is important for us as husbands to learn to understand our wives. Young men, it's important for you as you grow up to learn to understand your mom. What do you think about that? Surely you're going to get married to someone that's a little easier to get along with than she is. Think so? I'll give you a hint for life. You learn to understand your mom. It will bless you. And it will bless your wife in the future if you get married. A big bunch. And it will cause the blessing of God to rest upon your marriage union in the future. Being heirs together of the grace of life. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And that's true. They are the weaker vessel. And at the same time, as we look at the plan of God and childbearing, our wives bear a burden there that we as men do not. And it takes a lot of strength out of them physically. We need to be understanding with those things. We need to be there with them and for them. And not just for childbearing years. Their life is full of change in these areas. And we need to be there and connect and be understanding. That we may be heirs together of the grace of life. This is still the plan of God. It's almost like, I don't know if this is right or not, but I'm thinking of the carrot in front of the donkey. God has a blessing in front of our nose and we can have it if we'll just take that responsibility and apply ourselves to it. And know it isn't always easy. It's not always convenient. But go ahead and do it. There's always a blessing. That's sure. See, this is God's plan. Giving honor and understanding our wife as a weaker vessel. It makes a secure home for children to grow up in. And we can end up being heirs together of the grace of life and the plan of God. For marriage will be fulfilled. And God will be honored. And His church will be built. And others can be drawn to Christ. And on we can go of the things that can flow out of that plan of God. You know, we can get used to each other, and not so long ago, my wife was gone for a couple days. And I'll tell you, it's much easier to be the one gone than the one staying at home. It's an empty life, it feels like. You have all this time. And it's a good thing, the plan of God. And if you've never been apart for a night or two, I'd actually recommend it. You might question me on that, but you go ahead and try it once. Don't call this Bible by any stretch of the imagination, but you go ahead and try it once, and one or the other of you find something good to do for a couple days that you're separated, and you just see what happens when you get back together. And if you see it as a negative thing, you come tell me about it and I can quit saying what I'm saying. But I haven't found it that way. But rather a re-solidifying together of the plan of God and what it's all about, being together, uniting hearts, being there with each other, and that God can be honored. You know, and if God is honored with what we're doing that costs to be separated for a little while, amen. So be it. Let's do it. I know I'm getting sidetracked here, but but in a home like that, Psalm 144, verse 12, yet, that your sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that your daughters may be as a cornerstone, polished after the similitude of a palace. Beautiful. Coming out of a home. Prepared to go labor in the vineyard of Jesus Christ. Not growing up by accident. Not growing up however it happened to be. But in the plan of God. God has a plan. Our biggest challenge is all the distractions around us today. That's one of our biggest challenges. All the distractions around us today. And I do ask that pray for me. As I ponder what to say and not to say and seek the face of God on some of those distractions. It is on my heart to talk about some of them. And I'd like just an honest conversation. Not going to come here with a big stick to beat on you, but I might be plain and honest. And I'm aware, it feels strange for me, but I'm aware at 45 I'm getting to be looked at as one of the old people that don't get it. But remember, we're going to want to look at the blessing of God and God's plan. God's plan doesn't change. And I'll be speaking from the perspective of having been privileged to have received some of those blessings, having had a courtship with no regrets and no guilt. God has our best in mind. So do pray for me that I can share what would be on God's heart and that would minister and edify to us where we're at. To be honest with you, I don't know you, but I know what's going on around us. So Lord, guide me. There's more to say that can be said, that we can say the right things. Amen. God bless you.